Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 556, Update on September 11th and Related Matters. This has been recorded on June 4th of the year 2006. And once again, let me, before we get into the main body of the broadcast, let me encourage members of the listening audience to take advantage of the enormous amount of printed information that's available, including roughly a dozen or so old anti-fascist books that'll flesh out your understanding of the history of fascism, long article-length descriptions of each For the Record program, a blog sphere, which turns the descriptions into blog sphere material. Sister station WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on real audio. WFMU is podcasting the programs. There's a website being maintained by people in the Midwest, listeners in the Midwest, that have all of the declassified government documents about the Bush family's complicity with Nazi industry before, during, and after World War II. And, of course, the Spitfire website also features a number of For the Record programs for download only on both real audio and MP3. There also, by the way, is a page to click on the Spitfire website in order to support the work that I'm doing. And if you don't like what you hear, there's no better way of doing something about it than supporting the work that I'm doing. Well, obviously, as the title of the broadcast indicates, we are going to be updating, basically, including articles about September 11th and related matters, things that in some cases we have touched on before, but we're going to be fleshing out our understanding. In Side 2, we're going to be dealing with, at one level, the Bank al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood financial structure. And at another level, we're going to take a look at some of the networking that has taken place between some of the Islamo-fascists of the Muslim Brotherhood and other fascists, American fascists, German fascists, Japanese fascists, and this by way of understanding how the Muslim Brotherhood and its various offshoots, including Al-Qaeda, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, and others, how they fit into a larger international fascist milieu. And we're going to be also reviewing information that we touched on in, among other programs, For the Records 513 and 514, indicating that, as at least has been the case so far with regard to the Swiss investigation of the AQCon network, American officials in this country have, to, for one reason or another, been have refused to declassify documents and send them to the Swiss. And we're going to take a look at that. In particular, we're going to take a look at networking that has taken place between some of the Muslim Brotherhood elements implicated in the financing of Al-Qaeda through the Bank al-Taqwa and the ultra-right-wing Hunt family of Texas. And in turn, we're going to take a look at the Hunt family's networking with international fascism. We're going to begin by taking a look at an important article, but nonetheless a very limited article, by Douglas Farah, a writer for the Washington Post, about the offshore financial empire of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the epicenter of this offshore financial empire is the Bank al-Taqwa, the financial organ for the Muslim Brotherhood. We've done extensive amounts of programming on the Bank al-Taqwa. Its head, Youssef Nada, was a Nazi intelligence agent in World War II. Nada and his associate had a number of children in the United States in 1979 and 80, born in the greater Washington, D.C. area in Virginia and Maryland. In all probability, Nada and company were in the United States helping out with the Afghan Mujahideen support effort. Their efforts on behalf of the Afghan Mujahideen, and also the relationship between the Muslim Brotherhood, the Bank al-Taqwa, and key elements of the Republican Party, such as Grover Norquist and Karl Rove, may very well be another reason why some elements of the U.S. intelligence community, actually really the Justice Department, dragged their feet with regard to cooperating with the Swiss on the Bank al-Taqwa investigation. We're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. We're also going to, again, we're going to take a look at the Bank al-Taqwa's networking with other reactionary elements, and we're going to take a look at Ali bin Musalim's association with the ultra-right-wing Hunt family of Texas and how the Hunt family has networked on an international basis. We're going to begin by taking a look at an article, again, by Douglas Farah. Douglas Farah is a Washington Post writer, and on April 18th of 2006, he published an article called The Little Explored Offshore Empire of the International Muslim Brotherhood. This talks about the international financial networking of the Muslim Brotherhood. This involves much of the offshore financial doings that Lucy Commissar has explored at length in a number of our visits with Ms. Commissar. I would note that this article is good but quite limited in that it does not talk about the links between the Bank al-Taqwa and the Safa Network and the SAR Network and the Safa Trust and the Republican Party. Nonetheless, as a point of departure, I think this article, which we're going to read in part, is worth going over. This article, The Little Explored Offshore Empire of the International Muslim Brotherhood by Douglas Farah, published on April 18th of 2006. It reads in part, almost from the inception of the modern Islamic banking structure in the early 1980s, the International Muslim Brotherhood set up a parallel and far-flung offshore structure that has become an integral part of its ability to hide and move money around the world. This network is little understood and has so far garnered little attention from the intelligence and law enforcement communities tracking terrorist financial structures. The fundamental premise of the Brotherhood in setting up this structure was that it is necessary to build a clandestine structure that was hidden from non-Muslims and even Muslims who do not share the Brotherhood's fundamental objective of recreating the Islamic Caliphate and spreading Islam by force and persuasion across the globe. To this end, the Brotherhood's strategy, including the construction of its financial network, is built on the pillars of clandestinity, duplicity, exclusion, violence, pragmatism, and opportunism, unquote. Among the leaders of the Brotherhood's financial efforts, based on early Brotherhood documents and public records, are Ibrahim Kamel, a founder of Dar al-Mal al-Islami Bank, or DMI, and its offshore structure in Nassau of the Bahamas, Youssef Nada, Ali Galeb Himat, and Yusuf al-Qaradawi and the Bank al-Taqwa structure in Nassau, and Idris Nasruddin with Akita Bank International in Nassau. Mapping the network of bank insurance or takaful companies and offshore corporations, which are often used as covers to open bank accounts and move money in difficult-to-trace paths protected by bank secrecy laws, should be the focus of far more attention because the network provides a mechanism for funding the Brotherhood's licit and illicit activities around the globe. This is of fundamental importance because the Brotherhood has played a central role in, quote, providing both the ideological and technical capacities for supporting terrorist finance on a global basis. The Brotherhood has spread both the ideology of militant pan-Islamism and became the spine upon which the funding of operations for militant pan-Islamism was built, taking funds largely generated from wealthy Gulf state elites and distributing them for terrorist education, recruitment, and operations widely dispersed throughout the world, especially in areas where Muslims hope to displace non-Muslim or secular governments. Almost every major Islamist group can trace its roots to the Muslim Brotherhood, founded in 1928 by the Hassan al-Banna, a pan-Islamist who opposed the secular tendencies in Islamic nations. Hamas is a direct offshoot of the Brotherhood. Hassan al-Turabi, who offered sanctuary in Sudan to Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda allies, is a leader of the Brotherhood. He also sat on the boards of several of the most important Islamic financial institutions, such as DMI. Bin Laden's mentor, Abdullah Azzam, was a stalwart of the Jordanian Muslim Brotherhood. Ayman al-Zawahiri, al-Qaeda's chief strategist, was arrested at age 15 in Egypt for belonging to the Brotherhood. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Ayman al-Zawahiri, blind Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, and chief 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta were also members of the Brotherhood. There has been some understanding of the Brotherhood's relationship to Islamist groups and of those ties even in the United States. In 2003, Richard Clark said, quote, "The issue of terrorist financing in the United States is a fundamental example of the shared infrastructure levered by Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and al-Qaeda, all of which enjoy a significant degree of cooperation and coordination within our borders." The common link here is the extremist Muslim Brotherhood. All these organizations are descendants of the membership and ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood, unquote. However, this understanding has not taken root in the intelligence, law enforcement, and policy communities, nor has the financial network of the Muslim Brotherhood come under intense scrutiny. Public records show the Brotherhood's financial network of holding companies, subsidiaries, shell banks, and real financial institutions stretches to Panama, Liberia, the British Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, Switzerland, Cyprus, Nigeria, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, and beyond. Many of the entities are in the names of individuals who, like Nada Nasruddin al-Qaradawi and Himmat, have publicly identified themselves as Brotherhood leaders. A senior U.S. government official estimates the total assets of the International Brotherhood to be between $5 and $10 billion. It is a difficult thing to assess because some individual members, such as Nada and Nasruddin, have great individual wealth. They also jointly own dozens of enterprises, both real and offshore, with Ghaleb Himmat and other Brotherhood leaders. Discerning what is personal wealth, legitimate business operations, and Brotherhood wealth is difficult, if not impossible. It is clear not all the money is intended to finance terror or even radical Islam, but it is equally clear that this network provides the ways and means to move significant sums of cash for those operations. One indication of a company or corporation being a Brotherhood activity rather than part of individual assets and wealth is the overlap of the same people on the directorships of the financial institutions and companies. For example, the Brotherhood network entities established in Nassau, Bahamas, all register their address as that of the law firm Arthur Hanna and Sons, which incorporated their businesses and banking institutions. Members of the Hanna family served on the boards of the banks and companies, handled legal correspondence, and represented the companies in legal cases. Many of the directors of the myriad companies served as directors of several companies simultaneously. In turn, many of these same people served simultaneously on the governing boards or Sharia boards of DMI and other important Brotherhood-dominated financial institutions. The overlap of directorships and shareholders strongly indicates the tight-knit nature of the organization and the interconnectedness of the financial network. The most visible part of the network, offshore shell banks in the Bahamas, did merit some investigation immediately after 9/11. The Treasury Department publicly stated that Bank Al-Taqwa and Akita Bank International were, quote, involved in financing radical groups such as the Palestinian Hamas, Algeria's Islamic Salvation Front and Armed Islamic Group, Tunisia's Ennahda, and Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda organization. The primary shareholders in Al-Taqwa Bank were Ennahda, Nasruddin, members of the bin Laden family, and dozens of other Brotherhood leaders, including Yusef al-Qaradawi, the Grand Mufti of the United Arab Emirates. A cluster of charities, by the way, let me pause here to preface this last section that I'm going to read here. What Douglas Farrow is about to talk about is the network that got busted on March 20th of 2002, following an investigation into Sami al-Arian, the de facto North American head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, one of the splinter groups of the Muslim Brotherhood. There was a bust by the Customs Department and the FBI on March 20th of 2002. They busted a series of Islamic businesses and charities that overlapped each other and which in turn were not only deeply connected to the Bank Al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood, but which also had very strong connections to the Republican Party, Grover Norquist and Karl Rove, and people associated with both George's Bush, something that has been almost completely obscured, not only by the mainstream media, but also by the so-called alternative press, and something that has been totally, dogmatically ignored by the so-called 9/11 truth movement. Unfortunately, here Douglas Farrow does not talk about the connections with the Republican Party. Of course, there aren't many people who will do that other than yours truly and John Loftus and one or two other writers. It just, well, there's not much discussion of it, which is a damn shame. Returning once again to this Douglas Farrow paper. A cluster of charities based in Herndon, Virginia, where many leaders had ties to Ennahda and his banking activities, is under active investigation by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. Two of the leaders of the cluster called the Safa Group incorporated the Al-Taqwa Bank in Nassau, and other leaders worked for Ennahda's banks and had extensive financial dealing with him. many of the Safa Group's leaders are also members of the Brotherhood. Unfortunately, while the Treasury Department designated Bank Altaqua and Akita Bank with great fanfare in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, it was largely theater. The government of the Bahamas had already shut both banks down in April of 2001. The investigation subsequent to 9/11 revealed the terrorist ties that had been suspected but never acted on. Earlier intelligence operations by the CIA found Bank Altaqua and other structures of the business empire were used not only to funnel money to Al-Qaeda, but also provided the terrorist organization with access to internet services and encrypted telephones, and helped arrange arms shipments. The Treasury Department, citing intelligence sources, said that, quote, as of October 2000, Bank Altaqua appeared to be providing a clandestine line of credit to a close associate of Osama bin Laden, and as of late September 2001, Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda organization received financial assistance from Youssef M. Nada. So again, the Altaqua network, the financial organ of the Muslim Brotherhood, laps on many waters, not only very key elements of the Republican Party and the Bush administration. There are links running in the direction of so-called neo-Nazi networks, both in Europe and in North America, through Ahmed Huber, one of the directors of Bank Altaqua. Again, Youssef Nada, the founder of the bank, was a Nazi intelligence agent in World War II, alleged by the Asia Times to have helped the Grand Mufti escape from Germany after the war. François Genoux, a key Nazi spy, an individual who played a key role in dispersing Nazi monies after World War II, as well as helping the post-World War II Nazi diaspora to Latin America and the Middle East. François Genoux was deeply involved with the Bank Altaqua milieu, meeting almost daily during one stretch of time with Ahmed Huber. François Genoux is the heir to the political last will and testament and collected literary writings of, catch this, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, and Martin Bormann, and he's deeply involved with Bank Altaqua. Now, you saw in that last, or we read in that last section, a reference to the associate, the Bank Altaqua associate, who was providing assistance to Al-Qaeda. That was a fellow named Ali bin Musalim. Now, in side one, we took a look at how the U.S. has deliberately dragged its feet in cooperating with the Swiss, attempting to prosecute people from the AQCOM network. Conjecture on my part is that that is due to the fact that there were elements of U.S. intelligence associated with the Safari Club that were complicit with the AQCOM network's development. That was seen as a quid pro quo for Pakistani and Saudi assistance in the Afghan Mujahideen War against the Soviets. So, too, as we saw in our visit with John Loftus in For the Record 514, the U.S. neglected to provide documents to the Swiss to pursue Youssef Nada. And as we looked at in For the Record 513, the Swiss have suspended their investigation into Youssef Nada, at least in part, because the U.S. has refused to provide documents for that investigation. Whether that has something to do with why that Youssef Nada and Ali Ghaleb Himat were in the United States having kids in 1979 and 1980, or whether it's the links between the Muslim Brotherhood and Bank Altaqua and the inner core of the GOP and the Bush administration, well, that is a subject for conjecture. Certainly the Muslim Brotherhood was deeply involved with the Afghan Mujahideen support effort. But one of the things to note here is that the Treasury Department was involved with pursuing the investigation into Bank Altaqua. On April 4th of 2002, Talat Otman, a member of Grover Norquist's Islamic Institute and a close associate of both Georges Bush, interceded with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill on behalf of the targets of the raids of the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest investigation. And shortly thereafter, X number of months later, Paul O'Neill was dismissed. Another Treasury Department official named George Wolfe wrote a letter to the Swiss specifically talking about the fact that the aforementioned Ali bin Musalim had been maintaining an account for Al-Qaeda with Bank Altaqua. Now, we're going to review some information concerning Mr. Bin Musalim, what happened to him, and with whom he has been networking in the past. Following article, again, review here from For the Record 513, Swiss-based Al-Qaeda suspect had Saudi passport, is by Stephen Fiedler of the Financial Times, from April 27th of 2005. It reads in part as follows. A Swiss-based businessman accused by the U.S. Treasury of providing financial help to Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda carried a Saudi diplomatic passport, according to copies of documents contained in a book published on Thursday in Paris. The documents include a letter from the U.S. Treasury to the Swiss authorities, which says that Al-Qaeda and its leader received financial assistance from the businessman Ali bin Musalim, quote, as of late September of 2001, unquote. They also include a copy of Mr. bin Musalim's diplomatic passport. The disclosures contain in Al-Qaeda Will Conquer by the author Guillaume Dasquet, by the way, co-author with Jean-Charles Brizard of Forbidden Truth, will be uncomfortable reading for the Saudi government, which has disputed any suggestions of official complicity in the attacks of September 11, 2001. The January 2002 letter from George Wolfe, then the U.S. Treasury's Deputy General Counsel, says Mr. bin Musalim, quote, has been providing indirect investment services for Al-Qaeda, investing funds for bin Laden, and making cash deliveries on request to the Al-Qaeda organization, unquote. The letter links him to the now-defunct Bank Al-Taqwa and its founder, Youssef Nada. Both have been named by the U.S. and United Nations as providers of terrorist finance. The existence of the letter has been previously reported by some news organizations, but Mr. bin Musalim's diplomatic status was not emphasized. According to the book, Mr. bin Musalim was found dead in his residence in Lausanne last June, a month after reports of the U.S. Treasury letter first emerged. So again, note that a month after the reports of his complicity with Al-Taqwa and Al-Qaeda emerged, he's found dead in his apartment in Lausanne, Switzerland, a numbingly familiar pattern, as we have seen. Mr. bin Musalim's role in controversial financial dealings goes back to the early 1980s, when prosecutors accused him and others of attempts to corner the silver market. Now that places Ali bin Musalim, as well as other Saudis, including now King Abdullah, in bed with the right-wing Hunt family of Dallas, Texas. We're going to turn now, for the concluding part of our program, to the book The Man Who Knew Too Much by Dick Russell, published in hard and soft cover in 1992 by Carolyn Graff. Of the right-wing Hunt family, and in particular Nelson Bunker Hunt, we read, after dropping from publicity, dropping from sight to a large extent, Dick Russell writes in The Man Who Knew Too Much, the Hunts then pretty much dropped from notoriety until 1988, when a federal jury in New York ruled that Bunker and Herbert had conspired in a racketeering scheme to corner the world's silver market in 1979 and 80. The Hunts, ordered to pay $130 million in damages, soon filed for bankruptcy. Now, by way of, again, understanding how the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic fascist organization that collaborated with the Nazis and then, among other things, jumped to U.S. intelligence and British intelligence at the end of World War II, by way of understanding some of the international fascist networking of which the Bank al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood are part, we're going to take a look at some of the international networking that the Hunt family has been involved in, and specifically Nelson Bunker Hunt, who worked with wealthy Saudis, including now King, then Crown Prince Abdullah, and also the late unfortunate Ali bin Musalim of Bank al-Taqwa. Nelson Bunker Hunt was one of the key people involved with the founding of something called the International Committee for the Defense of Christian Culture. Dick Russell writes of that. Speaking of the his here, by the way, is Charles Willoughby, who was Douglas MacArthur's G2. He was born Carl Adolf von Zschäpe und Wiedenbach. He was a German-born fascist and an admirer of Francisco Franco, the fascist dictator of Spain. That's the he here. His International Committee for the Defense of Christian Culture had two branches in Bonn, where its founder was an ex-Nazi turned anti-communist. The organization's avowed purpose was resistance against regimes and political concepts contrary to its own, unquote. In this context, it linked extremists in Spain and Portugal together with Germany and across the Atlantic to the United States. One of the ICDCC's leading lights was Walker's early 1963 traveling companion, segregationist preacher Billy James Hargis, on whose Christian Crusade National Advisory Committee Willoughby likewise presided. A major ICDCC funder was Nelson Bunker Hunt, son of the oil billionaire H.L. Hunt. Willoughby's friendship with H.L. Hunt dated back at least to the early 1950s, when the oil man met regularly with Willoughby and other generals in New York in seeking to push a presidential bid by General MacArthur. Like Willoughby and the Hunts, General Walker was a fervent member of the John Birch Society. Walker remembers meeting Willoughby in the course of his 1963 travels with Hargis, but says he did not know him well. Indeed, there seems to have been a noteworthy distance maintained from Walker by both Willoughby and the Hunt family. Perhaps this stemmed from Walker's almost maniacal desire for the limelight. Willoughby's ICDCC, about which little is known, preferred behind-the-scenes maneuvering. More about some of the people involved with the ICDCC. At a meeting of the ICDCC in 1963, among the speakers was Dr. Theodor Oberlander, a former German officer who had led the Ukrainian Nightingales in World War II. Oberlander had served as West Germany's Minister of Refugee Affairs until 1960, when details of his wartime role became public and he was forced to resign. By the way, that wartime role was leading members of the OUNB in liquidating the Jewish population of the city of Lvov. Continuing. He was also a delegate to the Asian People's Anti-Communist League. Hermann Punder, the ICDCC's outgoing international president, was an ex-Nazi Abwehr agent. Both Punder and Oberlander had direct connections into the Munich-based newspaper that the day after the assassination would contact General Walker and then somehow scoop the world on the previously unknown news that Oswald had fired on Walker in April of 1963. By the way, key German and Nazi banker Hermann Obbs was also a member of the ICDCC, as we looked at in, among other programs, AFA 15 and AFA 37. Again, this by way of taking a look at some of the international networking that the Hunt family engaged in, and Nelson Bunker Hunt, one of the key funders of the ICDCC, about which we've been hearing, was deeply involved with Ali bin Musalim and other Saudis in trying to corner the silver market in the late 70s and early 80s, again, by way of setting the Muslim Brotherhood Bank al-Taqwa et al. Into a larger international fascist network. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program number 556, Update on 9/11 and Related Matters. This has been recorded on June 4th of 2006. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.